From the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Today on the program, we're taking a look at the young local music scene with three emerging acts from right here in Lancaster whose average age is about 19. We welcome Jordan Rast and Tuck Ryan from Unusual Suspects, and the fellas from The Districts who have been making a huge splash regionally. We also welcome back Jesse Baker, whose brand new band just recently broke into the Philly scene with a show at the legendary Dobbs. We're talking about life as a young musician in Lancaster.
I feel blessed to be a part of Lancaster as, you know, as like my hometown that I, you know, try to work from, because, there's some places that have literally nothing musical, no opportunities, and they drive places, you know, honestly. And me being from Lebanon, that's kind of the case there. Anybody from Lebanon that's working on music is driving to Lancaster, if not driving somewhere else. I think most of them are driving to Lancaster because it's a great option, you know.
Coming up, it's Jesse Baker, The Districts, and Unusual Suspects. And if that's not enough, Joanna Underhill is back skirting the curtain with her monthly local theater update. But first, let's find out what's happening around the wood stove. This week, on Wednesday, January 30th, head west across the river to Sign of the Wagon in York for a special midweek concert with Nashville's Andrew Combs and the Toy Soldiers frontman Ron Gallo. It's a BYOB 21 plus show, and space is limited, so get your tickets in advance. You can link up from the show post for today's episode for more details. Thursday, January 31st, it's the Straybirds from right here in Lancaster. They'll be at World Cafe Live in Philadelphia. The show starts at 8 p.m. and includes an opening set by Boku Blue. Tickets are $10. You can link up on the show post for today's episode or visit worldcafelive.com. It's Lancaster's first Friday, this Friday, February 1st, and the Ware Center, Millersville University's premier visual and performing arts center, is back in business. There are over 30 arts events happening at the Ware Center in February, and just one of them is this First Friday performance series with singer-songwriters Adam Blessing and Austin Criswell. This is a free, kid-friendly show from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Friday evening at 42 North Prince Street in downtown Lancaster. More details about all that's coming up at the Ware and Winter Centers online at millersville.edu/muarts. And you can look for Harvey Owen, the director of the Ware Center, next week on this program with his monthly update featuring some of the other performances coming up in February. It's Adam Blessing and Austin Criswell at the Ware Center, Friday evening at 6 p.m. Saturday, February 2nd isn't just Groundhog Day. It's also International Ice Cream for Breakfast Day, and you can start it right at Carmen and David's Creamery at 25 North Prince Street in Lancaster. Carmen and David's will be offering four special ice cream breakfast treats, including the Coffee and Donut Sundae, a cinnamon sugar donut with a scoop of coffee ice cream, drizzled with caramel and then topped with whipped cream and a cherry. Yes, indeed. To sweeten the pot even more, 10% of sales from that morning will be donated to the Wood Stove House, and another 10% will be donated to our friends at Creative Works of Lancaster. That's International Ice Cream for Breakfast Day at Carmen and David's Creamery, Saturday, February 2nd from 8 until noon. Thank you, Carmen and David's, for your ongoing generous support of the arts in Lancaster. Speaking of Creative Works of Lancaster, Joanna Underhill, Vice Chair of Creative Works, joins us this week for a monthly look at what's happening in the Lancaster theater world. We're skirting the curtain with Joanna Underhill on Around the Wood Stove.
Well, coming up this week is the next show at the Fulton Theater. It's called Good People. It's a play, and it officially opens on the 31st, and it runs until February 17th, and it's a co-production with the Walnut Street Theater.
Talk about those collaborations. Has the Fulton done those before?
They have. This is the third one they've done with the Walnut.
Okay.
So the Walnut's in Philadelphia. And they rehearse the show in Philly, and then they bring it to Lancaster. So this weekend is when the cast and the costumes and things will come from Philadelphia. They'll do tech rehearsals, and then it'll open on Thursday.
So it's coming up. What do you know about the show?
Well, okay, I purposely haven't read a description of the show. Other than Frances McDormand, who's been in a lot of Coen brother movies, uh-huh. She won a Tony for it last year. And because I'm lucky enough, because I teach at the Fulton, I'm also on their staff email, and I get their production reports. And a lot of people, I think, oh, okay, well, there's nothing in here that's going to apply to me, so I'm just going to just delete it. But I love reading production reports because it is...
Little secret.
It is.
Didn't know about you.
Oh, yeah. And they're the building blocks of a play, which is what I really like, because it has the notes, what they would like for props and costumes and scenery and lights. And they come out, the stage manager does them after every rehearsal. And I used to do them because back in the day I was a professional stage manager, which is why I love them. So it's fun to read when it's a show that I know and you're like, oh, okay, I can see this prop and that prop. Mm-hmm. But not knowing this one, but I purposely read them anyway. So I've been trying to glean what the show's about and I'm not really sure, but I do know it's got bunny figurines in it and they had to make multiple ones because I think they get broken. Someone in the show, they're from Boston and they're a Bruins fan, I believe. There were some references to Red Sox, but I think they decided to make them a Bruins fan instead.
Okay.
I know that there's bingo involved and that somebody is very proud of his very own bingo marker because I know the props person had to go find that. And there's a doctor's office. There is also some scene where they're eating cheese and there's been a big discussion about what types of cheese the actors are going to eat. And this is an inside tip. There will be fake cheese on stage that is not edible and real cheese on stage.
Ah, yes. So it's like the old TV commercial trick where they make the food that's presented, it's like fake, it's like glue
absolutely.
In the cereal,
mm-hmm.
But then the guy's sitting there eating a bowl.
Eating the real bowl, yep. So, yeah.
All right. Well, so. you know what would be a fun thing to do someday would be to not know anything about a show, mm-hmm. read just the production notes, and then go write a different show.
Yeah.
And have to use
those
everything that comes
those from the production. Great, I might do that now.
That's that could be the next puppet.
Look, bunny figurines, yeah.
Come
bunnies
on.
And sock puppets. I'm
and
good.
Cheese. First Fridays in Lancaster at the Fulton Education Building, right next to the Fulton. Lancaster Dramatist Platform does play readings from their own local pool of playwrights. But I know it's not every first Friday. Is that coming up?
Yes, it's every other first Friday and first Friday in February.
Great.
There'll be readings. They start at 9 on Friday night.
It's typically just about an hour, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they're also doing on Sunday a new feature, which is the Sunday after first Fridays will be a chance to listen to longer plays.
Okay.
First Fridays are typically 10 minutes, 15. And so there will be an hour-long one act by David Nice, as well as another, probably a 15-minute companion piece. He wrote them to go together, and they're both about kind of workspaces. One is industrial, and one is about, what's HR stand for?
Human resources.
Human resources, thank you.
Of course. Well, that's great. So is it always going to be the same weekend?
Yes.
Like when there's a Friday night, there's a Sunday?
Yeah, sort of your weekend of new play readings.
Same space?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that's at the Fulton Education Building.
Yeah, and that's Sunday afternoons at 2 o'clock.
Franklin and Marshall College also has a special treat coming up for theater lovers in Lancaster.
So Franklin and Marshall College has an annual visit by what is called the Lapine Family Visiting Theater Artist. And it's endowed by James Lapine, who was an F&M graduate, and he's famous for directing. He's worked a lot with Stephen Sondheim, did the original production of Into the Woods, won a Tony Award for it. He's directed the current revival of Annie. And so his family has endowed money to bring a professional theater artist every year. Last year it was John Guare. This year, on Tuesday the 19th, it's the playwright Sarah Rule. And she is really well known for doing Eurydice, that won several awards off Broadway a couple years ago. It's been done locally. I know high school did it last year. Dead Man's Cell Phone is really famous. The Clean House was done in Philadelphia. She's been nominated for every single theater award you can get. And she is probably one of the more interesting, exciting, and prolific contemporary playwrights that we have.
Wow.
So she's going to give a public lecture.
What are the details around the event?
It's a public lecture, 7:30, at the Rochelle Center for the Performing Arts. And
is there a ticket price?
No, it's free and open to the public. No tickets necessary. And there'll be a book signing afterwards.
Joanna Underhill is a longtime theater professional here in Lancaster. She is currently a teaching artist at the Fulton's Academy of Theater and vice chair of Creative Works of Lancaster. Learn more about the Academy of Theater at thefulton.org and keep up with our friends at Creative Works at their website, creativelancaster.org. Today on the program, we're talking with three emerging bands from Lancaster, PA, whose average age among all of them is about 19. Jesse Baker, The Districts, and Unusual Suspects. There's an incredible amount of young creative talent emerging from Lancaster, and I wanted to tap into that scene to feature a few of these acts on the program, but also to find out how these musicians feel about Lancaster as a home base to launch a music career as they transition out of high school and into the rest of their lives. But first, some introductions. Jesse Baker is a pop rock singer-songwriter who broke into the Lancaster music scene in a big way over the past year. Working as a power trio with a rhythm section including one musician still in high school and another one in college, 20-year-old Baker released his debut full-length album, Tearing Down the Walls, in 2012. He and the band also found themselves playing the Chameleon Club stage practically every month, opening for bigger regional bands like Hot Jam Factory, and even headlining a show there back in August. They also landed a spot on one of the convention center stages at last year's Launch Music Conference. They played World Cafe Live in Philly over the summer and scored opening spots at two major Kingsfoil shows at the Chameleon, their CD release party in September, and then their year-end show a couple days before the end of 2012. That last show was the last one with Jesse's original lineup. I asked him about the challenges of keeping a band together when the members are going through big life changes, like graduation from high school or college.
I think ever since we started, we knew that pursuing music full-time, it's very hard to predict exactly what that's going to look like, you know, for your entire life. So I think that we had a good balance between working on the project, as, you know, as if it was our lifetime band, you know, putting that much attention to it, but also being ready if life changed for people, you know, and if people had to go separate ways. So basically, we are younger musicians. Our bass player was preparing to go to college this summer, and our drummer actually got engaged. So we had an offer to open for Kingsfoil, and that just seemed like a great show to kind of, you know, wish him farewell, and that because we knew all of our friends would be there.
Yeah.
You know, and also people's schedules, you know, when you're in a local band, it's hard for you really to project, like, months in advance what you're going to be doing because of your personal life. You know, you're still working a job or going to school and things, so you're getting all of those commitments on a month by month basis, you know. So
here's Let Me Go from Jesse Baker's debut CD Tearing Down the Walls on Around the Wood Stove. The Districts are three high school seniors and a 2012 high school graduate who play a unique flavor of gritty blues and soul-inspired rock. Frontman and guitarist Rob Grote attacks the music with a passionate intensity well beyond his years. Here's Rob Grote and drummer Braden Lawrence. How long has The Districts been a band?
3 years, about. Yeah. A little over 3 years.
Were you guys just all buddies? Or did you meet because of the band?
So we were never really good friends, but the band made us really good friends.
Well, except me and Brayden were like best friends in preschool. But we drifted apart after that.
The band released an EP called Kitchen Songs back in 2011, and then a full-length record called Telephone in 2012. Let's talk about what's been happening since the new... When did the new record come out?
Well, it's not quite as new anymore, but I guess June, I think, it came out. So it's been out for like... Well, like a little more than 6 months, probably.
It seems like it's catapulted you into some new territory.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely helped us get our name out there a fair amount.
How did you break into the places you've been playing in Philly?
I guess it started with playing at The Fire, which is like a pretty small like bar / club, which has all ages shows sometimes, which we were on. And there, it's on, I think, near 4th and Girard. But we started playing there a lot because they have a lot of like up and coming and bands that don't have like any name for themselves that can play there as well as like they have ones that do have names for themselves. But so it was like easier for us to get in there. Kind of started with that, and then from there started working our way into like house shows and stuff. So we would play like a fair amount of house shows on the weekends, and then I guess the thing that really helped us play more venues and like bar type places was we did this Beta Hi-Fi emerging bands contest thing at World Cafe. It was just like you had to enter for it, and we did the Philly one and the Delaware one at their Wilmington World Cafe. And from that, we met Marley McNamara, who actually, she's kind of like doing like booking, managing, like promoting for us right now, so she's helping us a lot.
McNamara,
sorry, I always mispronounce that, but she, but yeah, so from meeting her, she definitely helped a lot just because she has a lot of connections, so that's, it's been a huge help.
Is it a challenge finding rooms to play since you're not 21?
At first, it definitely was. Now, because we've made friends with, like, Toy Soldiers and some bands who are above 21, so a lot of them can help, like if we're playing a show with them or something, and Marley, that they are... Like, the venues are more likely to listen to them than us. We're like, oh, we can play here. Because, like, they'll be like, oh, you should let them play. And then we can kind of get in, just get our underage, like, exes on our hands. And so it's helped a bit. We don't play a ton of 21-up shows, but we play them every couple months or so.
Here's Long Distance from the District's 2012 album Telephone on Around the Wood Stove. Unusual Suspects is a folk blues and gypsy jazz quartet from Lancaster built around singer and guitarists Jordan Rast and Tuck Ryan. Jordan is a sophomore at Millersville University and Tuck is a senior in high school. The Suspects evolved from a band that Jordan put together in 2011 to support his latest solo album, Fractured Love. that included the same rhythm section, Evan Graver on drums and Peter Reist on upright bass. Tuck and Jordan's friendship and musical compatibility made it a logical transition to include Tuck in the fold. Here's Tuck Ryan.
I think Jordan and I are very different personalities, but I think that it's helped to kind of level things out between the two of us. And it's kind of, you're right, it is difficult to kind of keep your, kind of like your work and your pleasure separate when it feels like they're very, very close. So, you know, we're obviously best friends, but a big part of what we do with music is business. It's about giving a performance. And so, you know, you can't be having little spats about this and that all the time and then try to make it successful. Or at least you can. Some people do it. But, yeah, I think that that has been a really an interesting part of watching the group form.
Was it weird for you to come into essentially Jordan's solo band?
I felt very present with him kind of while he was writing the album. I can remember the morning after one of those famed high school events, going upstairs to Jordan's bedroom and him sitting there with a guitar, just playing this little lick, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he's like, you know, this is going to catch. And that was kind of the start of Fractured Love in that album. And it was a little strange, but I had stepped in here and there and played a couple gigs with the guys before, with his band before. So it wasn't kind of totally new waters for me. Yeah. I had a little bit of bearing, but certainly it was an interesting process to be a part of as it evolved from the Jordan Rast example into Unusual Suspects and kind of everything that that's brought since.
And I'll be honest, I was getting sort of stressed out in the leadership role, which I still take a lot of in many aspects, but definitely, like, especially in the past show we played, Becca was like, oh, Tuck's the leader of the band now. And now it's like this shared thing, which is like really cool.
Tuck has also influenced the trajectory of the style of music. The result has been a move toward folk, jazz, and gypsy jazz, an appeal that reaches far beyond their own peers.
The gypsy jazz aspect was something I went away to Nicaragua for 2 weeks, and while I was there, I didn't have a phone, you know, didn't have a lot of this stuff, but I brought along this old beat up iPod, and I was able to get some Wi-Fi at one point, and I was like, you know, I want to just listen to something new, and I bought one of Django Reinhardt's records, and I was listening to this guy's stuff, and I was just like, this is awesome, this is just really great. And I had always, I studied theater for a while when I was younger. I loved older styles of music, and jazz had always been something that's big for me. So listening to that and kind of thinking, well, you know, I know Jordan's a great guitar player. I know that we can play this kind of music, and the upside of it is that we can sing it too. And I think that that's been really cool because gypsy jazz music and just jazz in general, I think it brings in, like you said, older crowds of people that are like, oh, I recognize this. This sounds familiar.
My grandma, you know.
But it's also really fun, I think.
Anyone.
It's fun when we're given a show and people our age are like, I want to hear Dinah. I want to hear Them Their Eyes. You know, when they say, I want to hear all these old tunes because yeah. those are their favorites. And that's really cool to me. I think that's one of my favorite parts about this project is bringing that older style of music and not just making it more accessible to people who are familiar with it and who aren't hearing it as frequently, but making it accessible to a whole other generation of people who don't hear it that frequently. That's really rewarding, I think, for me personally. I love doing that, and that's some of my favorite stuff to play.
Here's Unusual Suspects with Dinah on Around the Wood Stove.
Well, Dinah, is there anyone finer in the state of Carolina? If there isn't, you know her, then show to me. Well, Dinah, those Dixie eyes blazing, I love to sit and gaze into the eyes of Dinah Lee. Oh, every night, why she could fry it, oh, because my dynamite changed her mind about me. Dinah, you wanna go to China, hot hop an ocean liner, just to be with Dinah Lee.
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Each week, we bring you interviews with artists and those who make the arts happen in and around Lancaster, PA. If you like the show, please let us know. Drop me a line at jason@woodstovehouse.com with any comments, questions, or suggestions. The podcast is and always will be free, so if you really like the show, consider joining other supporters of the program and drop a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. The tip jar is located in the top right corner of our website, woodstovehouse.com. Today on the program, I'm talking with young independent musicians from the Lancaster scene. One of the biggest challenges for young bands coming out of high school is whether or not to focus completely on the music or continue to have it share time and energy with school by going to college. Here's Jesse Baker.
All the way through high school, I thought I was going to college, you know. But I started really rethinking that when I was, you know, learning that music is a business. You're an entrepreneur if you're a musician in today's era. So looking at the cost of college and the time commitment, I was really hesitant. You know, should I invest that money in school or should I invest that money in this business? You know, and at that, in high school, you know, I didn't have a clear idea of exactly what I'd be investing my money in, but I thought at some point, you know, when I'll get into music and I'll network, I'll meet people, I'll learn. And at some point, you know, there's going to have to be a business started around it. And that will take money just like any other business. So I think if college was cheaper or free, that would be an easy decision to do it and then go back and try music, you know. But nowadays, it's a difficult decision.
While Jesse has been out of high school for a couple years, three quarters of the districts will be graduating this year. Here's Rob Grote along with guitarist Mark Larson, who graduated last year, and bassist Connor Jacobus talking about college and how it fits into their plans.
I mean, right now I'm planning on going to college and stuff, and well, at least starting college. We'll just see where I go with that. But I mean, for the most part, like, my parents are supportive, so music's like my main focus, and that's where I'd like to go with things, hopefully, if we can make it last.
Oh, I would love to do music full time. I actually, you know, like, you graduate high school, the first thing, you know, everyone does is go to college. But I took the year off so I could stay back and play music with these guys. And if it gets bigger, I would take another year off or not go. if it all works out, I would. But, I mean, you know.
Are you feeling any pressure from, like, your family or from other people around you?
No, I kind of feel pressured just because I'm putting pressure on myself. Kind of, it's a scary thing to just say I'm not going to go to school. So I'm kind of, I mean, I do want to go to school. I do want to learn things, but at the same time, it's like if I didn't go to school, I could more focus on the music aspect, and it's a hard choice to make.
Yeah,
music's like probably my top priority, and I guess, like, I do feel pressure from my family, of course, that they all want me to go to college, but I think they understand if, like, we get a big break, they'll definitely probably let me skip college or just go back to it later, something like that.
What do you guys see as a big break? When you say big break?
Probably, like, getting on tour with, to open for like a bigger band or something like that.
For me, I think as if it becomes possible that we can play music and have a secondary job and still be supporting ourselves, I would consider that enough to not need to go to school.
I have a lot of opportunity to chat with musicians and artists from Lancaster and the surrounding areas on this program. Most of them rave about Lancaster's creative renaissance and the flourishing art scene, but they're also usually past their high school and college years and well into their own creative careers. But what is the art scene here like for young independent musicians in their late teens and very early 20s? Here's Rob Grote and Mark Larson from the Districts on the Lancaster scene.
It's definitely a good place to, like, start and get your feet, I guess, to say. But personally, I liked it better when Senorita Burrito was still downtown, because you could have, like, any shows you wanted and be, like, really loud and, like, have a bunch of people dancing and stuff. And it was just, like, a really cool, like, laid-back, like, DIY place to play.
I think just having the opportunity to play, when Senorita was open, I think just having the opportunity to play there, just even if it wasn't beneficial as like getting additional people to see you that haven't seen you already, but just playing and experiencing playing together in front of an audience, I think just prepares you for other shows.
Compared to like a small town in like a big city, I feel like compared to a small town, there's more places to play and there's like music for everyone and things like that. That, like, the Music Fridays and First Fridays where we would busk and stuff a lot, things like that. Like, it's it's better than a small town because there's more opportunities than in like Lidditz or something per se. But then compared with somewhere like Philly, like to start, it's a lot. It's a lot less overwhelming. It's a lot easier to not feel like swallowed by everything. Like it's easier to feel like you can at least be somewhat of something, even though you like just started. You know what I mean?
Jesse Baker also understands the benefit of Lancaster's relatively small but very rich music scene. While he's had some quick successes in Lancaster, he sees how it's only one part of a larger strategy for a successful music career.
I feel blessed to be a part of Lancaster as, you know, as like my hometown that I, you know, try to work from, because, there's some places that have literally nothing musical, no opportunities, and they drive places, you know, honestly. And me being from Lebanon, that's kind of the case there. Anybody from Lebanon that's working on music is driving to Lancaster, if not driving somewhere else. I think most of them are driving to Lancaster because it's a great option, you know. So it's that I love Lancaster, and I would never want to bash it, but you do have to recognize, you can't say like this town is gonna launch me, you know, this town's gonna launch you into Philly or something, and that's where you're gonna, you know, go after a career, or
you've got to go there and get it.
Yeah. Yeah, and this town can really set you up for that. Well, they have connections. You know, you'll meet people that will help you. But you can't just keep playing in Lancaster and saying, "How comes nobody from anywhere else is approaching me?" Or "How comes nobody's interested in me?" You know.
Here's the Unusual Suspects, Tuck Ryan and Jordan Rast, on how they see the Lancaster scene.
Lancaster is it's an interesting environment because it is a kind of a hip little pocket. But I think it's a really cool place because it's bursting with artists of all different styles, and the community really supports that. This is the kind of place where if we go out and we busk on the street, lots of people stop and they take time out of their day to listen to that. And so that's what's great about Lancaster, I think, is that it's a very supportive community, and not even in a... in a very personal way, in terms of knowing lots of people. I mean, there are so many people you can make great connections with here that have connections outside of Lancaster. And so I think that's why Lancaster is a great springboard, because I don't think that it limits you to your arena. I think that it really nurtures you where you are and provides some success, but I think that it can also create greater opportunities.
And it's just so talented. It's ridiculous. Everyone that's in these bands, the Districts or the Stray Birds or anything, these are people that I like grew up with and like knew. Like they're all connected, this like little pocket of music that grew up together. And now people are talking about it from like Philly. They're like, "Oh yeah. Yeah, Lancaster, Central PA. There's actually some really good music over there." Mm. And it's like, yeah. And I think we're so lucky to be able to play among the likes of all these people and to contribute to it. And just like I go to a jam at the Kevel building above this on the day before New Year's, just jammed out with all these great musicians, and it's all these people from Lancaster.
Big thanks to Jesse Baker, the Districts, and the Unusual Suspects for stopping by the Candy Factory to chat about life as a young independent musician in Lancaster. You can connect with all of these artists and find details about all of the events we mentioned at the top of the show on the show post for today's episode. That can be found at our website, woodstovehouse.com. While you're there, you can check out past episodes of this program or leave a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. If you like what you hear, please drop a comment on the show post, give us a good rating on iTunes, and be sure to tell your friends about the show. Around the Wood Stove was produced at the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You can find us online at woodstovehouse.com.